Audio Gravity, October the 13th, 2009. Good morning to you again. Oh, Spotify's just popped up. Let me just move that out of the way. Okay, first link of today is this link over on MSNBC. I found this quite hilarious. This Seattle-based story. A fugitive was busted after accepting friend request. Alleged fraudster added former Justice Department official to friends list. So this is hilarious in terms of when not to use social media. So there's this guy called Maxi Sopo, who was living the dream of fugitive abroad, kicking back on the beaches of Cancun by day, partying in the clubs by night. That kind of recklessness landed the 26-year-old native of Cameroon in Mexico City jail, where he's awaiting extradition to the United States on bank fraud charges. Federal prosecutors say he and associate falsely obtained more than $200,000 from Seattle area banks and credit unions. And somehow this guy found out where he was by posting an update on Facebook and basically saying how much fun he was having and added a former Justice Department official to his list of friends, so they basically found him pretty quickly. I think it's pretty awesome actually that they found him in that way, and it just shows you the power of the status update. Next link today is over on NYC Times, NewYorkTimes.com. Google accounts for 6% of all internet traffic. 5 years ago, internet traffic was, for the most part, managed by tier one providers AT&T, Verizon, Level 3 Communications, and Global Crossing, all of which connected thousands of tier two networks and regional providers. Today, that's changed. Instead of traffic being distributed among tens of thousands of networks, only 150 networks control some 50% of the online traffic. Among these new internet superpowers, it's no surprise to find Google listed. In fact, the search giant accounts for the largest source, 6% of all internet traffic worldwide. It's quite interesting to see how the balance of power is adjusting on the digital highways now that the products behind what you need to connect to are actually funding the actual cable. And there was a big sort of cable rush as well, where people were buying what's called black fiber, because there was a lot of companies who got into the market of providing network and traffic and transit, especially in the States, who went to the wall because they just couldn't afford to be competitive, or for whatever reason they were sort of zoned out of the market. And it's just interesting that now, you know, it's got to the degree that the companies making the products or the services are actually smart enough to go, actually, we'll just get our own fiber, and we'll just, you know, we'll just sidestep, if you like. It's almost this crazy organic nature of the way that the internet's expanding out. Next link today is airpwn.sourceforge.net. Bit of a dangerous little utility, this. Airpwn is a framework for the 802.11 wireless packet injection. So what this is, it allows you to listen to incoming wireless packets, and if a certain pattern that you've set in a config file matches that data, then you can take your own content, your own custom content, and you can inject it or spoof that connection from an access point. So if, for instance, somebody's requesting a graphics file from, let's say one of these clients that uses YFrog maybe, or something that uses TwitPic, you could inject a different picture into the Wi-Fi stream so that that came up instead of other ones. Be very careful at looking at the images on the Airpwn site to do with DEFCON 12, because some of them are pretty horrible. But it just shows you what they were doing at DEFCON 12 while people were using unsecure wireless networks. And they were injecting all these sorts of imageries into websites, and the, you know, background repeating pages and stuff. Pretty nuts stuff, and just goes to show that as you have advancements elsewhere, there's always going to be a team of the underground hacking around, finding weaknesses in these frameworks. Next link today is over on dubmenow.com, your mobile business card. I've been waiting for something simplistic and easy like this for a long time now, and it's slowly starting to roll out. I think I've always thought that business cards, even though I've got business cards, I always thought business cards were a bit of a pain. You got all these technology in our pockets, and we should be able to literally wirelessly send our contact details over to people that we meet, And just, you know, get away from that whole staring at business cards, looking around, flipping it over, looking at the back, looking at the graphics, looking at the icons, making an assertion about somebody based on their business card. And an eco-environmental thing as well, you know, the amount of cardboard and printing and graphics and colour and stuff that needs to go into these inks. Surely it's got to be a better way. So this Dub Me Now is your mobile business card. And what's cool about it is that once you've actually exchanged details, if you do update any of those contact details yourself, then it automatically updates it on Dub. And then people who were signed up to you, they automatically get the updated information. So that's nice. I like that because business cards, they do go out of date and not names change, but URLs change, email addresses die, phone numbers change, you know, especially with people upgrading to different phones all the time. A cool little application. I like it a lot. Next link is over on blog.gcase.org, Global Entrepreneurship Institute, the think tank for global entrepreneurs. Been looking for a really good thought-out overview for a business plan. My initial business plan with HSBC was pretty crap, based along a web development business, whereas now it's more of a social media kind of aggregation, transcoding, distribution, platform service, really. So I need to readdress it and rediscover that business plan and dig it all out and go through it again. I could really do with an expert to sit down with and get them to take what I've got as passion and translate it into something that's more business-like. Next link today is, and the final link today, is schoolhouseapp.com. Now, I know probably two or three teachers, and some of them have got Macs, some of them have got PCs, and this is actually for the Mac. Academic planning for the Mac. Schoolhouse is designed for students who need an easy, quick, and powerful way to manage what they need to work on. Great features like automatic grade calculations, smart criteria, and file attachments make organizing your tasks quite simple. I like it a lot. I like it mainly because the website is very clean. That means they've spent a lot of time on the design. And the actual app itself looks very similar to Things and Evernote. So, you know, it's got to be good if it's that sort of, if it's built in that sort of way or in that sort of guise, because I really like those applications. That's it for today. I'll speak to you tomorrow. Cheers. Bye.